I have been looking at and hearing about the news. Everybody's been talking about it through the times lately. And it occurred to me, and it's one of the reasons why this month's theme is about honesty, is one of the core problems that we have as a society is we just don't trust anybody anymore. Does anybody trust politicians? What about the news media? For some now, there's a lack of trust in the police. I've heard people, you know, well, we can't trust the CDC anymore, the doctor organizations. What is behind the lack of trust? Why is it that we're having that much difficulty trusting people? I'm sure you heard the story of Aesop's fable of the little boy who cried wolf. I'm going to tell it to you again. There once was a shepherd boy who was bored as he sat on the hillside watching the village sheep. To amuse himself, he took a great breath and sang out, "Wolf! Wolf! The wolf is chasing the sheep!" The villagers came running up the hill to help the boy drive the wolf away. But when they arrived at the top of the hill, they found no wolf. And the boy laughed at the sight of their angry faces. "Don't cry wolf, shepherd boy," said the villagers, "when there's no wolf." And they went grumbling back down the hill. Later, the boy sang out again, "Wolf, wolf! The wolf is chasing the sheep." And to his naughty delight, he watched the villagers run up the hill to help him drive the wolf away. When the villagers saw there was no wolf, they sternly said, "Save your frightened song for when there's something wrong. Don't cry wolf when there is no wolf." But the boy just grinned and watched them go grumbling down the hill once more. Later, though, he saw a real wolf prowling about his flock. Alarmed, he leaped to his feet and sang out as loudly as he could, "Wolf! Wolf!" But the villagers thought he was trying to fool them again, and so they didn't come. At sunset, everybody wondered why the shepherd boy hadn't returned to the village with their sheep. They went up the hill to find the boy, and they found him weeping. "There really was a wolf. The flock was scattered. I cried out, 'Wolf, why didn't you come?'" An old man tried to comfort the boy as they walked back to the village. "We'll help you look for the lost sheep in the morning," he said, putting his arm around the youth. "Nobody believes a liar, even when he's telling the truth." Samuel Johnson once pointed out, "We're inclined to believe those whom we do not know, because they've never deceived us." And therein lies, I think, the core of the problem. We've caught so many people telling us things that are not true. And it's a sad commentary that people tend to disappoint us. The longer we know someone, the more distrustful we become because of what they have done or not done. And this is what's behind our lack of trust in our politicians. We've caught them lying too many times. It's why we don't trust the news media. We find out they tell us things that are not true too many times. And the list goes on and on with those whom we think we ought to trust. The more we're familiar with them, the more we don't trust them. Even the distrust in our police is rooted in a perception of unfairness. Whether it's deserved or not, that perception is being encouraged among the general population. And so the question is, where is the trust? Where is trustworthiness? I want you to take a look at Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, and we're going to start with verse 10. He who is faithful in very little thing is faithful also in much. He who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? Being trusted isn't a matter of accuracy at this moment. It is the reliability that you've accumulated over time. And too many people expect trust as a right. Well, I said so, therefore you ought to trust me. Why? What evidence have we presented to other people that we are trustworthy? The common teenage line, "Don't you trust me?" To which all the grown-ups answer, "No." Usually, though, we're too polite to just say that bluntly, but no. But have you shown yourself to be reliable in the past? That's the question. Why would I expect a person who's often late to be on time for a critical meeting? Why would I expect truth from someone who's willing to lie if he thinks it will benefit him or achieve his desired goal? Or worse, how can I trust someone who lies because it's fun to manipulate other people? And when you're undertaking something new for yourself, for which you don't have an established record, why should there be trust? Now, that's always the issue for teenagers. They want to stay out late for a party someplace or demand to spend time alone with someone else of the opposite sex. And the fact is, you don't have practice. You don't have experience. You haven't built up trust that you do have the self-control needed. See, the character of a Christian is one that's worthy of being trusted. For example, when we do have business dealings, it tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. If you have somebody who's taking care of your money, you want somebody that's reliable. Someone you have some trust in. And it's not just when somebody's looking over your shoulder and making sure you're doing what's right. In Ephesians chapter 6, and starting with verse 5, slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of your heart, as to Christ, not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will render service as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. Notice, it's not just with eye service. Not just when somebody is watching you. As a Christian, we develop trust because we are reliable and always doing what needs to be done. And another aspect of business in Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, right at the beginning of the chapter in verse 1. Proverbs 11, verse 1, it says, "A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but just weights is his delight." When you're doing business dealings, be honest in your transactions. Don't try to make extra profit by cheating somebody out of how much they get or how much you're willing to buy. Make everything above board and honest. Anything less is a form of lying. And God finds that disgusting. He finds that sickening. In our marriages, one of the components of love is a love for truth. In describing love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul says love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag, it is not arrogant, it does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, it's not provoked, it does not take into account a wrong suffered, it does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Love's one of the basis of love is trust. I was talking to a young couple last night. They're talking about getting married. Longest distance marriage class I've done so far. All the way to Brazil. But they're talking about getting married. And one of the aspects we talked about was this aspect of trust. I've seen way too many people who have boyfriends or girlfriends that insist they have to see the other person's cell phone all the time. Now, maybe they, you know, because of past, there's a reason why they would need to see somebody else's cell phone, but there's a problem there. Somebody has proved themselves to be untrustworthy. And there's no trust in the relationship. And there's really not love there. In Malachi, one of the complaints God had against the Jews, in Malachi chapter 2 and verse 13, "This is another thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with groaning, because he no longer regards the offering or accepts it with favor from your hand. Yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously. Although she's your wife by she's your companion and wife by covenant." But not one has done so who has a remnant of the Spirit. And what does that one thing, while he was seeking a godly offspring? Take heed then to your spirit, and let no one deal treacherously against the wife of your youth. For I hate divorce, says the Lord, the God of Israel, and him who covers his garments with wrong, says the Lord of hosts. So take heed to your spirit, that you do not deal treacherously. What was going on? They were cheating on their covenant. They had marriage vows. Oaths that were witnessed by the Lord. And then they were breaking those vows. And somehow expecting God still to be happy with them. We have to be people who are trustworthy in every aspect of our life. Even in our conversation. Take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and in verse 12, "Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, purity. Show yourself as an example of those who believe. Notice that. In your speech, show yourself as one who's worthy. Think about what you say. James tells us that in James chapter 5 and in verse 12. James chapter 5, verse 12. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or earth or with any other oath, but ye let your yes be yes and your no, no, so that you may not fall under judgment. I should not, as a Christian, need to cross my heart and hope to die in for somebody to get me to believe me. I should have established a reputation that if I say I'm going to do something, or if I say I'm going to be somewhere, that I follow through with that. And it doesn't matter how inconvenient it is to me. It doesn't matter whether it might cause me to lose a little bit of money or whatever. I will try to keep my word to the utmost extent that I can. My word ought to be gold to someone else. Now, yes, we live in a society that no one keeps their word, and so nobody trusts anybody, yes, and we have to deal with that. But for myself personally, and for each one of you, it ought to be that I should be able to take exactly what you say at face value. Mean what you say. And that's what we found in that Psalms 15, that was read for our scripture reading. Go back there for a moment. Psalms chapter 15. It says, O Lord, who may abide in your tent, who may dwell in on your holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against a friend, in whose eyes a reprobate is despised, who honors those who fear the Lord. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. He keeps his word in all times, in all aspects, even when it's detrimental. Keeping your word is more important because you're building trust. And so also we should build up trust in our service to God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And in verse 2. It says, these things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust those to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You go through the New Testament, one of the terms that's frequently used for Christians is faithful. Somebody who is trustworthy. Take a look at Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. And in verse 2, it says, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, who are at Colossae. Faithful should be how we are described. Faithful should be how we behave. Jesus talked about faithfulness in a parable in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. In verse 45, It says, who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master puts in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that evil slave says in his heart, my master is not coming for a long time, and begins to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink with drunkards, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and in an hour which he does not know, and cut him in pieces, and assign him in a place with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Who is the faithful servant? Who is doing the master's will? What kind of reputation do we have with God? Because Jesus, we're told in Revelation 17, Revelation 17 and verse 14, says, these will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. Those who are with him are the called, chosen, and faithful. Jesus reigns over the faithful. Are we one of his faithful servants? Have we been building up a reputation of being trustworthy? You know, our Lord God is faithful. He's proven his faithfulness for many, 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 many centuries. He's always kept his promises. In Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. God keeps his word. He's shown his steadfastness. Back in Hebrews 6, Hebrews 6 and verse 17. In the same way, God desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who take refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul. A hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. God's faithfulness is solid. We can trust him. He's shown that time and time after again. We are able to commit our lives to him and know that he will take care of us. In 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19. Therefore, those who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. And we as his children need to do the same. John tells us in 3 John verse 5. 3 John verse 5. Beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, and especially when they are strangers. We need to be acting faithfully in all things. Everything that we do, we should ought to be keeping our word, being honest. In Revelation chapter 2, and in verse 10, do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil's about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested. You will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I'll give you the crown of life. That's what God requires of us. Trustworthy service to the end of our lives. And if we leave here today, I want you to think about various aspects of our lives. When we repeat something, do we know that is true? So often people pass on what somebody else gave. and they didn't check for themselves. I've gotten caught a few times. Usually it came from somebody I thought was trustworthy, and I didn't double check them. Do we keep our word? When we give our observations, do we have a reputation of basically being accurate? When we teach somebody, or tell somebody, do we live the life that we're telling them they ought to live? What kind of reputation are we building so that people will want to trust us? I hope you think about those things. If there's anyone here today who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those who are children of God and would like the prayers of your brother on your behalf, we offer that opportunity. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.